Cabello's the go-to guy for renovations. His bucky is full of tools, ready to build dreams. But one day, a reckless driver takes him out. No, his bucky's standing still. No wheels, no money, Kabza. Oh. But with budget, he'd be back on site faster than you can say DIY. Don't let expensive days stop your hustle. Visit budgetinsurance.co.za for a business insurance quote today. Budget is a licensed non-life insurer at FSP. T's and C's online.
MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, as the year draws to a close, many companies, I imagine, are gearing up for year-end work functions, but these celebrations are not without their difficulties. From potential liability issues to navigating workplace conduct, employers need to be vigilant. And joining me today to look at the legal risks of year-end functions is Sachin Naidu, Associate in Employment Law at the law firm Cliff Decker Hofmeyer. Sachin, welcome to you. So what are the most common legal risks that employers face during year-end work functions?
Jeremy, one of the greatest concerns, I think, in relation to workplace functions is obviously the behavior of employees during such workplace functions. As you know, workplace functions are often a time at which we celebrate the year that has just passed. More often than not, a lot of alcohol consumption. There's a lot of behavior, which some might say is quite questionable from employees. And this often raises a cause for concern for a lot of employers during this time of the year.
So should employers then be rigidly enforcing workplace codes of conduct, and particularly, Sachin, when it comes to off-site events? I mean, the reasonable ask here, I guess, is a balance between celebration on the one hand, but as you've suggested to me, professionalism as well.
Yes, certainly. I think it's important for employees to always remember that when you're engaging in any workplace activity, professionalism is of the utmost importance. And as far as the enforcement of an employer's code of conduct or the disciplinary policies and procedures and so on, my advice to any employees is that there should be strict adherence to any of the company's policies and procedures or codes. And that an event like the year-end function is certainly not a reason to disregard any of these codes or policies or standards which are set by the employer.
Would I be correct in saying that the provision of alcohol at a work function, whether it's off-site or on-site, really does complicate liability, particularly in cases of misconduct or even accidents?
Of course. And you know, aside from the potential health and safety violations which may arise, you know, due to the consumption of alcohol, the company also may face legal liability for any damages or accidents which may arise from an employee's actions, insofar as they may be linked to any particular work function. Of course, you know, this is not to say that it should open the floodgates to any sort of claim or legal liability for an employer in the event of an employee acting in a manner which is less than professional or that may cause harm to themselves or others at the workplace functions. But definitely, where a close enough link can be drawn to the workplace function, this does present some form of complication and indeed legal liability.
So I don't need to ask then, if you're going to avoid all of this, maybe the best thing to do is to explicitly outline rules for year-end functions and talk about enforceability if those guidelines are breached.
Yes, yes. In fact, there are a variety of steps which an employer can take to mitigate against any of the risks which both the employer and the employee may face. And I think a good place to start is, number one, to obviously educate employees as to the type of behavior that is expected of them, especially during off-site events where the exposure is so much greater. And of course, you may have the added complication of having your reputation both as an employee and as an employer tarnished. So first of all, one needs to educate employees on the standard of behavior that's required of them. And this is not just during the festive period, but it should be done throughout the year, and not just on these special occasions where one might suspect that this behavior will be prevalent. And then the other thing is, obviously, now that we are at this stage in the year, Employers should ensure that staff are also reminded of what the consequences of their behavior would be in the event that they do misbehave during any one of these functions. It's also important, I think, in limiting or mitigating against the risk, to maybe put certain measures in place throughout these functions. And one such measure could be the limitation on the number of alcoholic beverages which an employee may drink. You can probably find creative ways of doing this. Issuing drink vouchers or tickets is a good way of managing this. Informing the bar or the waiters that at a particular event that they are to refuse alcohol to those who appear intoxicated. Perhaps even arranging for transportation to and from a function. And in as far as at least the employer limiting their liability, requiring employees to sign acknowledgements that they would be liable for any damages which they may cause at the year-end functions or these types of gatherings. And roping in managers as well to ensure that managers understand the company policies, they understand what their obligations are surrounding these policies, particularly around alcohol and substance abuse, and what is expected of them when one of their subordinates steps out of line.
Let me ask you one last question. We've been focusing a lot on the abuse of alcohol, but often that can lead to harassment or inappropriate behavior during an event like this. What does a company need to do immediately if allegations like that arise?
The immediate response of the company is obviously to investigate any incident of sexual harassment. It must be noted that sexual harassment is identified as a form of discrimination. So there is potential liability for what we call vicarious liability, but it's effectively when you impute the conduct of the employee onto the employer themselves and hold the employer liable. So in instances of discrimination, and as I said, sexual harassment is a form of discrimination, it's important to remember that the employer does have obligations to investigate incidents of discrimination, sexual harassment, and so on. And beyond that investigation, the employer must take all reasonable steps to ensure that it eliminates any form of discrimination or harassment, sexual harassment, and harassment. And it must ensure that it assists those who have claimed to have had acts of sexual harassment perpetrated against them, right? And this must obviously be done within a reasonable, or what we call reasonably practicable. It must be to mitigate against the risk, rather. The employer is expected to do everything that is within reason, but that is obviously dependent on a particular case.
So. All right.
It's determined on a case-by-case basis.
Well, listening carefully to this conversation, I guess the best advice is enjoy the party, be vigilant, be careful, because we all want to return to our jobs in 2025. Sachin Naidu, thank you very much indeed, as always, Associate in Employment Law at the law firm Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. I appreciate your time.